You know, we've been talking just about how it's been a mild winter. Lots of rain, lots of bugs. Our bug guys are all busy. Rosie, you were saying earlier that they're even trying to get technicians over from the south to come help out with the bug growth. Well, as Jay mentioned last Saturday, one way to help control bugs is control your weeds, eliminate one of the spots that they harbor on. Bonide's Cleanup is a great product for not only your flower beds. It's a systemic action. You'll see it take effect within days, but it's also one that doesn't leave a residue. So if you want to kill out a weed-infested lawn or your vegetable garden has been taken over, you can spray it, and 7 days later, you can plant. You can find this Bonide's Cleanup. Don at Treeland Nursery stocks it, and Mesa, Summer Winds, and Phoenix on Bethany Home, and then Waters Garden up on Iron Spring Roads in Prescott, and that's Bonide's Clean Up for weed control. People are gonna get tired of us talking about it, but it's gonna be allergies, bugs, weeds. We're gonna be in for a long haul. But I guess if that's as bad as it is in Arizona, it's not like we're snowed in like Julian, Minnesota, or any of the winter vortexes. I don't think we're gonna have a hurricane.
Our mosquitoes are only a fraction of the size.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's for sure. It is going to be a spectacular wildflower season. So like I say, we've got the official Rosie on the House wildflower photo contest now officially going. Be ready, because where the drive I did 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, told me the flowers were just at the point they were ready to explode. And with the temperatures now here, touching in the 80s, touching in the 90s,
they're gonna explode.
It's all it's gonna take to really explode. So we were talking a little bit earlier about looking at the stars and dancing at Cattail State Park.
Well, I got my stars crossed a little bit. Okay, tonight, but there's two things tonight. One's
Okay.
At the Cattail Cove State Park.
Okay.
And that is the geocaching and sky watching.
Okay.
Now, over at Lost Dutchman State Park,
Okay.
they are also having a night with Dr. Sky for an amazing night under the stars, and they're the one doing the dancing. So that's down by Lost Dutchman.
Dancing at Lost Dutchman, geocaching at Cattail.
And stargazing at both.
And stargazing at both. Absolutely fantastic. Now, this publication you've got, Jen, where did you get all this information?
There's azstateparks.com. And on the left-hand side, you'll see some little links, and one is events. And when I was just going to click it out so we could talk about it today, and I printed it, and for the next 2 months, it's 37 pages long.
Just what's going on in Arizona State Parks over the next 2 months. It's a 37-page publication.
Yeah.
What else have you got going on?
Well, there's a program to teach families who've never camped out how to camp out. It's just called Arizona Family Campout Program.
That's awesome.
It's in three different parks over the next month. Just go on the site to find out what's close to you. But there's one, one's at the Cattail, and then one's at Karchner. Now that would be a great one, because boy, talk about a beautiful sky.
If you haven't seen Karchner Caverns, that's like living in Arizona and not seeing the Grand Canyon.
It's so close and easy to get to, and wonderful.
They have it set up so easy to tour. So.
And if you're claustrophobic, it doesn't bother you. You just walk right into it. It's not going down some deep shaft elevator. You just gradually walk down in, and you're in this beautiful open room. It is amazing.
I can do Karchner Caverns. If I can do Karchner Caverns, anybody can do Karchner Caverns. It really is not confining or constricted at all. Mm-hmm. I tell you one thing, I wouldn't have done what those guys did that discovered the caverns.
What did they do?
Oh, the hole they had to crawl down, and then the little mud tube that they had to sneak and crawl through to get in there, and finally opened up into the cavern.
Whoop, it must have
no
been
way,
a
baby.
Triple dog dare or something.
Oh, man.
That would not be my choice.
Cave diving,
is that
I forget
spelunking?
What they call it.
Is that spelunking?
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was only in the ocean, and it was a different one if you're a cave exploring.
I don't think
on
so.
That.
I think
it's
spelunking
the same
is cave exploring.
Okay. Yeah.
Romeros aren't. No, they're swamp
there's
rats.
There's a big
not,
sky.
Yeah.
The sun, stars,
air,
clouds.
Air.
Yeah. All right, so learning how to camp at three state parks.
Yeah, that's, you know, I just picked out some highlights. There's classes on how to make adobe brick. Hey, that's at Fort Verde. And they also have a class on the history of soldiers at Fort Verde. That would just be a great class.
That's cool. And that's at the Fort right in Little Camp Verde,
mm-hmm,
right there.
It is.
on the river there.
Mm-hmm. That's an easy one to get to.
Very easy one to get to. There's going to be some wildflowers a lot between us and them driving up to Prescott tomorrow. I was up there on Tuesday. That whole area around Dugas and Orem and all that area is just covered in green grass. Absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. So where do we go from here? Are you going to continue this eating cricket campaign that you started a couple weeks ago? I mean, you're invited out to dinner by the family, and you bring cricket fruit bars.
Well, it wasn't
That's
quite
a
like,
little much,
It
Jennifer.
Wasn't quite like that. We were at dinner for your favorite sister Karen's birthday, and bad me, I was late. And so I came and sat down, and they started teasing me about they didn't have any crickets for me. And so I said, well, you know, I had stuck one in my purse to give to John Jay. So I pulled it out. I said, well, you guys get to taste it tonight. And they'd already finished their dessert and everything. And here they are trying their cricket bars. And you know what happened? Rennie ate one, and he started kind of twitching and jumping around like a cricket. It was really bizarre. I mean, maybe it needs something put on the package. Make you act like a cricket.
He's twitching and jumping around like a cricket long before he ever ate that cricket candy bar. Man. Hey, speaking of crickets, we had a little bit of follow-up with SRP as it relates to this surcharge they're putting on the solar users, solar panels. And we've reached out to them a couple times. Romy, have you got a response yet?
I haven't.
I haven't got a response yet either. We said, look, why don't you come on? Let's visit. We heard the solar industry's side of the argument. Now we'd like to hear SRP side of the argument, just to be fair. And again, the only response we get so far. So we'll keep trying. We'll keep reaching out to them.
I will say Steve Kep of Advanced Home Systems, our energy management specialist, called looking for all of our solar contacts and their names and numbers. He reads it a little different than the news is portraying it and says that there could be a diamond in the rough on this. And if he's correct and doing a little research, the solar company that figures out the position and the proper way to do this
be ahead of the game.
Could really be ahead of the game. So we'll see. I don't know.
I sure trust Steve. He's a smart guy, and he knows his stuff.
Well, we'll have to sit in on that meeting and see where it goes from there.
We also had John in Mesa call in, says that he wants a fishing report in the 7 o'clock hour.
A fishing report. Well, for a fishing report, tune in at noon. Mike Russell, get outdoors. He'll have 2 hours every Saturday now from noon to 2.
But see, John's thinking if he could get the fishing report at 7. But he'd already be on the lake.
Uh-huh.
He could call in and say what he caught.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he could. We'll give the fishing report starting, and then he can call in to Mike Russell and say, you know what?
Verify it.
I got that fishing report for San Carlos. It's bogus. Or
we did have a request to have an almanac.
Biting on, oh, what?
An almanac, you know, a little almanac portion. People would like to hear that.
John also wanted Rosie to tell some fish stories.
Fish stories.
Well, that should be easy enough.
Hour.
Yeah, we got lots of those. Hey, we've got Tom calling in. We're known mostly for our aid and information and tips on home improvement. We've got Tom calling from Florence. Let's bring him into the conversation. Who's going to bring him in, Bree or Jennifer?
He's on.
All right. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What you up to this Saturday morning, my friend?
Well, I'm sitting out here on my home site east of Florence, and I'm building an off-grid home out here.
How far east of Florence are you?
About 12 miles.
Okay.
Out here in the desert.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And we got no choice out here. You know, we have to be off the grid, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, this whole house, this whole project is designed from square one to be an off-the-grid home. It's tilted 16 degrees west of south, and it's got a big shed roof.
Okay.
On top of the shed roof, where we've got our solar panels arrays that are going to do two things. One, they'll shade the roof, and two, generate power for
sure
during the hottest parts.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions I guess I'd have for you guys is, one, what's your overall experience with off-the-grid homes? And then two, I'm looking at insulation, you know, bats versus the spray foam. And my contractor says the spray foam is going to cost like 2.5 or 3.5 times what the bats are going to cost. So I'm just trying to figure out if that's something that's worth doing or not.
And just out of, for my curiosity, it sounds like the home's designed. Have you broke ground?
Yes.
And what's the wall material?
Okay, it's a hybrid. We've got masonry, split face blocks on part of it. And then most of it is 2x6 standard stud construction.
And you're going to, are you going to have central heating and cooling in the house? You're going to live with, okay.
Yeah, we got AC. The house is kind of divided in two halves, so we're going to have two AC units, one on each side.
Okay. How many square feet are you building, Tom?
2,400.
Okay.
It's not a huge place, but then we got about that same amount of area outdoors. So this is kind of a live-in, live-out kind of a place, too.
Have you decided on your window package yet?
Yes, and it's very, very expensive, but it's very, very excellent and good. I mean, I could say the name of the company, what kind of windows I'm using if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're Western windows.
Okay, all right. So it's an aluminum frame, insulated
Correct.
Glass. Okay.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's got a thermal break.
Okay.
Break in there.
All right. Well, that's a good window. And the reason I ask is because it doesn't matter how much insulation you put in the walls if you don't invest in good windows. And that's where most people go wacko nuts is they buy, they buy the cheapest windows and then they put all the money in the insulation and they're just wasting their money. So it sounds like you got a great balance. The foam is going to be the better product. It is going to be significantly more expensive. Tom, I'll tell you what we're seeing a lot of people do across the country right now is they're actually just taking the small application of the foam and they're foaming the joint between the outside siding and the 2x6.
Okay.
So in any place you've got an outdoor receptacle penetrating the wall, they foam that. So they foam every place that air leak could possibly move. And then they apply the bats. And between the two systems, it's probably about the most cost-effective way you can get done what you're trying to get done.
Okay.
So think about that. Who's your builder? Is he out of Globe? Is he out of Florence? Is he out of Tucson?
He's out of Mesa.
Mesa, okay.
I can tell you his name if you want.
Well, when you're done and you're happy with everything he did for you, we'd love to see pictures of the house and we'd love to hear a report.
All right.
What's your completion date?
Oh, probably looking at like October, November.
Okay.
Time frame.
Awesome. Well, keep us posted, Tom. Appreciate the call. Off the grid construction. Love it.
It's a little late for Tom, and it's not in everyone's budget. But if you are going off the grid and you've got the means, you've got to look at geothermal, where they drill down into the earth, and then they put these pipes all through your home, and they run water on a little circulating pump. So the water goes down into the ground where it's 72 degrees and gets its temperature there, and then goes all through your walls and your ceiling. So you've got this constant 72 degrees run on a little water circulating pump. So it eliminates your need for HVAC. It eliminates...
Completely?
Yep.
Wow.
Pretty incredible.
More when we get back, y'all. Hang on.